The views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons. Broadcasting from KHUH LP 104.9 FM Seattle, it is time for The Thunderbolts! Yes, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! Alright, welcome to the Thunderbolt for October 20th, 2023. I have an archive show I put together this week, dug through my past shows, and put together a fun little thing I think you're going to enjoy. First, I got a little thing from Ani DiFranco here to start off, though, so on with the show.
So, I don't know if you've heard this new little album that I put out, but this song is newer than it, but it's very much in that same kind of tortured, melodramatic kind of self absorbed sort of a vein. And so now it's so funny, like all the righteous, but not all of them, just a couple of them that, you know, got their little panties on a little too tight, they're like all in a twitch. Because they're like, oh, well, you know, now you fucking wench just writing about, like, love and shit, you know, they're like, and what happened to your politics, and you're, you know, what, are you just gonna sell out and be like, you know, blah blah blah. And is this a conscious move away from overly political songwriting, blah, blah, blah? And I'm like, no, man, it's like, it's just, I got kind of distracted.
We humans are very proud of our vaunted brains. Well, sometimes I think,
let's kick the beat.
That we are entirely too proud of our vaunted brains. Sometimes,
the Congo drums.
I think that our brains get too big for their britches.
Listen to the guitar.
It is the brain itself that is doing all of this vaunting, after all.
Listen to the rhythm track.
It is not difficult to understand how all of this comes about, though. With our famous
brains, we can reason.
Bang us back, babe.
We can plan. We can cooperate with each other.
Let's get the beat.
We can conduct cost-benefit analysis.
Africa, Mexico, Sicily, Tijuana, India, Osaka, Indonesia. Africa, Mexico, Sicily, Tijuana, India, Osaka, Indonesia. Africa, Mexico, Sicily,
and we can then share all of this knowledge with each other. Yay for brains! Well, when it comes to brains, I'll tell you what, you self-congratulatory lump of gelatinous goo. This week, the Thunderbolt not only proudly provides listeners with yet another example of yet another gelatinous goo, but we provide you with what is possibly a competing example of yet another gelatinous goo. For ladies and gentlemen, and various permutations thereof, the Thunderbolt presents to you the Slime Mold. Now, slime mold is that nasty, slimy, yellowish, greeny, weirdly colored stuff that thrives in the shadows of the rainforest floor. Slime mold lives off rotting vegetation, and slime mold has a smell that is very earthy. Now, slime mold is a living thing, but slime mold is not like the rest of us. It is not an animal. It is not a plant. Slime mold is neither bird nor reptile. It is not an insect. It is not a fungus. In addition, something that most humans don't know, but should know, is that for a long time, in our Earth's very early history, slime mold was not only the only higher life form on the whole planet, but the entire planet was in fact nearly covered in the stuff.
Welcome to Slime City.
And there are some who think that slime mold may soon rise again. Slime mold is a creepy, slimy organism that is made up of one single giant cell. Slime mold has no eyes. Slime mold has no mouth. It has no ears. It has no nervous system. Slime mold does not have a brain. But in spite of all this, slime mold can navigate. Slime mold can search and find oatmeal. Slime mold can make decisions. And slime mold can't even conduct risk assessments. And there are over 900 species of slime mold. And some of them have been around for over 500 million years. Meaning that they are champion survivors. Well, according to a certain Dr. Audrey Dusudor of the Université de Toulouse in France, slime mold can also teach and learn from other slime mold. And they do this without brains. Watch your back, humanity. So it turns out that slime mold loves oatmeal. And it turns out that scientists who experiment and study slime mold always have a good supply of Quaker oats on hand. So Dr. Dusutor's team built a bridge and then placed some oatmeal on the other side of the bridge. Then, with some slime mold, they covered the bridge with salt, a known slime mold repellent. At first, the slime mold took forever to make its way across the bridge to the oatmeal. But each day it traveled a little bit faster, until within a few days, the slime mold had figured out the routine and began to cross the bridge as quickly as slime mold can travel, completely ignoring the salt. Then, Dr. Dusutor taught the other group of slime mold how to cross a bridge, but they did not subject them to the salt. The slime mold simply crossed the bridge and ate the oatmeal. When these naive slime mold were then suddenly subjected to a salt-encrusted bridge, their previous bridge-crossing experience meant doodly squat. They experienced exactly the same learning curve as the original slime mold had. Or, at first, they took a long time to negotiate the salt-coated bridge. But within a few days, they also began ignoring the salt and going directly for the oats. Next, the scientists placed an experienced slime mold with a naive slime mold, because evidently, when you put two identical slime molds together, then they merge by forming veins between them, and they begin sharing something. They have not yet figured out exactly what the slime mold are sharing with each other, but after they have merged, the scientists can then subsequently unmerge them by cutting these veins, and then they become two independent slime molds once again. The scientists discovered that the naive slime mold that had merged with the experienced slime mold subsequently had no learning curve when it came to negotiating salt-coated bridges. Right out of the gate, they immediately began charging directly across the bridge to the oatmeal, and they completely ignored the salt. This means that not only can slime mold learn from experience, and not only can slime mold conduct a cost-benefit analysis concerning the cost of dealing with salt to the benefit of munching on oatmeal for dinner, but they can subsequently teach what they have learned to other slime mold through physical contact. But how can a creature with no brain and no sensory organs, how can such a creature learn or teach anything? How does an entity that consists of a single cell have a learning curve? By what mechanism does slime mold consider costs and benefits?
Before the land, before time, there was a time before land, when the world was just slime, and Krongoo was the brand. Yes, Krongoo green sludge was the popular item. There might have been better sludges, but no one ever tried them. Bought and sold by the platter, green slime by Krongoo. It was the most popular matter, it was the most popular hue. It was from sea to sea, it was from dawn to dark. It had thoroughly cornered all of the market. All other colors were in absentia. Back in BC 10 zillion, there was no puce or magenta or chartreuse or cerulean, no red, yellow, or blue. Well, to put it properly, there was green slime by Krongoo. It was a total monopoly.
So they have no idea how slime mold even communicate, much less how they share knowledge. But what this means is that there are other ways of sharing information that do not involve brains or eyes or indeed any senses of any kind. And personally, I think that is just as cool as hell.
And land started to pop up in dribs and drabs at a time, and creatures started to hop up from the oceans of slime. Krongoo's grip started slipping with this slew of innovations. There was now competition from some new corporation. Some tiny, some giant. Some could chirp, some could buzz. Rebellious or compliant, with scales, feathers, or fuzz. Some were stupid as turnips. Some were lowly as corals. Some had high-minded concepts, dreams and ideas and morals. Some were fanged, some were toothless. Some were sweet, some were salty. They were popular but useless. They were pretty but faulty. And in the land after time, and the time after land, they'll just roll out the slime into the most trusted brand. Cause before the land, before time, there was a time before land, when the world was just slime, and Krongu was the brand. Yes, Krongu green sludge was the popular item. There might have been better sludges, but no one ever tried them.
Batman, what happened? Are you okay?
He slimed me.
That's great!
Welcome to Slime City.
Ah! It smells like a toilet full of nasty ass, okay?
While he was far from their first choice, the Klan and other white supremacist groups recognized the rum as one of their own right from the start. Donald Trump is a pure fascist by every definition and in every sense of that term. And I can guarantee you that the way he ran his campaign and that his choices for cabinet appointments are all indicative of how he is going to be conducting his business, i.e., he is going to employ shock and awe tactics. He is going to constantly hit everyone with such a never-ceasing barrage of outrage that no one will possibly be able to keep up. Now, this is important. If we make the mistake of trying to fight them on each individual front, then we will lose. If the anti-war folks keep their focus only on the war, and if the human rights folks keep their focus only on human rights, and if the environmentalists keep their focus only on the environment, if we continue to allow them to keep us split up into hundreds of small battles without taking on the underlying cause for all of these other problems, then we will lose. Because, kids, it's starting to look to me like this is the time that we have all been waiting for. Now that fascism has a brand new face that is considerably less acceptable than Barack Obama's was, then this may be the time to rise up. And indeed, everyone is taking to the streets. What I've been saying for decades now. Now, the hallmark characteristic of fascists is that they never know when to say no. They always think things way too far, and they always outrage way too many people. And now we find ourselves in a situation wherein the public is already outraged, and the dude has barely started. And once the Rump's minions start rolling all over everyone, then that outrage will only grow. Yes, kids, this is exactly what I've been talking about this whole time. If not us, then who? And if not now, then when? This is the time. This is the place. And we are the ones. Our country is now being run by an ignorant bully. And bullies only like helpless victims. They have no interest in a fair fight. And for that very reason, it is very important that we do not just roll over at this point. Which means it's time to get to work now, kids. Well, actually, it is only time for a station break. I mean, if you want to get to work right now, you can, I guess. But you should stick around for part two, because it's pretty good, too. We'll be back in a minute. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. So now it is time to whip out the suntan lotion and put on some Bermuda shorts. Because not only is the toothless old grandpa here, but this week he gets to do the feature piece. Hey, Grandpa, how's geriatric world these days? Son, I got your geriatric hanging. Come on, Grandpa, we must face the realities of life. You are an old man now.
Well, son, you is only as old as you feel. And as for myself, I feel like a bucking bronco, ready to face down the other stallions and then meet all the mares.
Okay. Back off, Bronco. Just making conversation here. I did not mean to get personal.
Yeah? Well, I tell you what, you patronize me again, and I will garbanzolate all over your doober.
Well, we certainly wouldn't want that now, would we? So the word is that you are aware of some career opportunities that are available to our children. So why don't you just go ahead and tell us about that?
Well, I can do that with mostest certainty. Recently, I asked myself the same question posed to us by our former president, the dishonorable George W. Bush.
Rarely is the question asked, how is our children learning?
The Department of Homeland Security, or the DHS, is an integral part of the Great American War Machine, meaning that those folks tend to view the world as a chessboard, and they tend to view your family as expendable pawns. Now, military recruiters targeting school children in general and low-income children in particular is bad enough. But the mere thought of the DHS interacting with children in any manner whatsoever, much less active efforts at brainwashing them into accepting and embracing the Homeland Security paranoia model of viewing reality. Well, I gotta tell y'all, well, that just quadruplitizes my poquitlia. Now, had I previously thought about it, I would have realized that, of course, the frigging DHS is going to be brainwashing school children. Their control is dependent upon misdirection, romanticizing violence, and instilling fear with a side of white male patriarchy. And what better place to start misdirecting and romanticizing violence whilst instilling fear with a side of white male patriarchy than in the public schools? However, I had not previously thought about the DHS brainwashing school children.
Hit it.
Thus,
here we go.
When I just learned that the DHS evidently has numerous and varied and very well-funded programs that are aimed at brainwashing school children.
Get a baby, put on your best dress. The ship
will
be soon, this planet's a mess.
I'm afraid that my head exploded.
I looked at the clock, it's almost 12. Yeah, time really flies with the world going to hell.
A woman named Nicole Guyen has written a book.
No one seems to listen. People love to fight. I don't ask for much, I just want a smooth fight. Yeah, come on now, I can't take the stress. Don't forget the tickets, this planet's a mess.
Her book is called A Curriculum of Fear.
Think about the future. Yeah, it's time we planned it. Better think about our future. It's time to get off this planet. So, pack your suitcase and grab.
Miss Guyen studies and is now exposing these efforts.
Come on now, it's all for the best. If we miss this ship, it's curtains, I guess.
Miss Guyen discovered that there are over a dozen high schools.
Chicken, I can't take the stress. Time to live.
That have formalized programs focusing upon homeland security.
No one seems to listen. People love to fight. I don't ask for much. I just want a smooth flight out of here.
Now keep in mind that the DHS contains within its fold the NSA.
It's a mess. It's a mess. It's a mess.
And the FBI.
It's a mess. They
are also intimately intertwined with all of the major weapons contractors.
Yeah, it's time we planned it.
about our future. It's time to get off this planet. So, pack your suitcase and grab that dress. The ship won't break, just find my man.
Now, concerning these school programs, we're not talking about a few classes scattered here and there.
It's a mess! It's a mess! It's a mess!
These are full-fledged programs that are aimed at high school kids, and they are like any other formalized high school program. Students take a series of homeland security classes. Homeland Security 101 and 102. They also have a variety of homeland security electives to choose from.
All aboard! All aboard!
There are field trips.
Oh, no.
To national security hubs. There are state police training courses. There are featured speakers and national security experts who give lectures. There are even internships. They are looking for everything from NSA spooks to Border Patrol guards. They even need custodians and food service workers who have security clearances to work inside these various government agencies. It is, of course, also meant to instill a fascist paranoid. They're all out to get us, so we've got to get them first. Militaristic worldview. So Ms. Nguyen sat in on some of these classes, and one paradigm she noted was the fact that many of the classes were very hands-on and tactile experiences. And one of the trainings, the kids were given police training guns and drilled on various terrorist and home invasion scenarios. Ms. Nguyen noticed that even though she was highly critical of the program, when she participated, she was herself quickly swept up by the energy and bound up by the security state logic. Paranoia very quickly became normalized. Ultra-masculine testosterone-fueled rants were common. Ms. Nguyen reports that students were excited, engaged, enthusiastic, and asking questions. Ms. Nguyen reports that as she was caught up in the excitement of, quote, terrorist fever, even she began having difficulty perceiving all of this as being highly problematic. Now, public schools are always promoting patriotism and the flag, and unquestioning nationalism is the expected norm. Now, while love of country can be a good thing, it can also be, and in fact it usually is, taken way too far. But this goes way beyond that. Ms. Nguyen reports that the anti-anyone that doesn't buy into the great American bubble worldview in general and the sexist, misogynistic, anti-Muslim worldview in particular was implicit, if not explicit, throughout the DHS courses that she sat in on. She says that these courses seem meant to justify our government's policy of endless interventionist wars all over the planet. There are over a dozen of these programs scattered around the United States, and evidently, more are on the way. They seem to target mostly low-income schools, and they are marketed as, quote, school reform programs. This is because privileged white people would not stand for this. And significantly, Ms. Nguyen reports that most of the teachers that she spoke with that are participating in the program said that they would never allow their own children to participate in these DHS programs. They said that they wouldn't want their own children to be exposed to the glorification of violence that permeated the curriculum, and they feared that their own children would learn to view all strangers with fear. Evidently, all of this is okay, though, if you're dealing with low-income children, because we can reform them. I would ask, reform them into what? And even more alarmingly, Ms. Nguyen reports that these formal high school classes represent only one small cog in a vast array of highly diverse efforts that the national security state is taking in order to get into the heads of America's children, both through the schools and through their social media. Uh-oh. More exploding heads. Beware. One teacher at the high school Ms. Nguyen visited explained that they were constantly thinking about how to instill interest in national security into younger children. Yes, indeed. Small children definitely need to start worrying about national security. This teacher said that they eventually wanted to create a kindergarten to career pipeline into the national security industry. Well, I guess that's better than the kindergarten to prison pipeline that they currently operate. But actually, now that I think about it, I think I would rather be in prison. Because at least in prison, I could do what I was doing whilst remaining honest with myself. The NSA even has a summer spy camp for kids. They play spy games, and they even have NSA coloring books. And there is even a special special NSA website that is specifically designed to lure children into their clutches.
Damn, Grandpa. That was some scary stuff. Right. And thus ends part one of the Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. For the Olympia version, we go to part two, What Can Be Done About It. But I am not nearly as intimately tied into the Seattle activist community as I am here in Olympia, where I actually live. So I will soothe you out instead with some music. First, though, there actually have been a couple of groups based out of Seattle who I've worked with here in Olympia that seriously impressed me, and I'll go ahead and mention them now. One is the Radical Women. And as their name implies, they are mostly run by women, but they gladly accept men into their membership, and I worked with them, and I was never made to feel uncomfortable in any way for being a man while I was working with them. So, yeah, and they kick butt. They're good. They get stuff done, and, you know, when they're talking to legislators up here in Olympia anyway. I actually became first aware of Hollow Earth Radio when they sent Matt Fu, a reporter, down to cover our occupation of the Capitol building. That was, what, in 2012, I believe. And then there is Washington CAN, the Washington Community Action Network. I've heard a couple of people criticize them lately. I haven't actually been involved with any of these groups myself in several years now, so, you know, everything might have changed. But back then, all these groups, yeah, Washington CAN, Radical Women, Hollow Earth, yeah, everybody. Well, Hollow Earth I am still working with right now since they air my show, so I will rescind that last statement. But anyway, yeah, if anybody knows of any activist events in Seattle you want me to promote on the show, then shoot me an email and I'll do it. I tell you how to do that at the end of the show. And otherwise, why don't we get to some music here? And for the music this week, I'm going to feature a local Olympia band featuring our local celebrity Danny Kelly. These are the Hinges. Enjoy.
About a moonlight night.
That was called The Moonlight Mile from Danny Kelly and the Hinges. So I hope you enjoy these archive shows. It's a good thing for my show that they're still relevant, I guess, even if it's bad for the world. Anyway, we'll see you next week. In the meanwhile...
The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And a quick note here. The Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes. Or you can go to radioforall.net. That's radio4all.net. Where you can also find the show notes, as well as a year's worth of downloadable episodes of the Thunderbolt.
Thank you very much.